Good evening to all and God's peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Gushing from the rock before us, lo, a spring of joy we see. Isn't that wonderful encouragement? That living water of life that flows from the very throne of God in heaven. And this evening, I would want to encourage all of you to believe, and most of all, to believe that your sins are forgiven and that you're washed away in the powerful name and the holy shed blood of Jesus Christ. This afternoon, I listened to a sermon from the convention, Timo Contio, and he spoke beautifully. I don't know if any of you happened to hear that, but it was wonderful words of life. He encouraged the young people to put away sin, to lay aside sin, and not only for the young, but for all of us. And he spoke of the precious blood of Jesus that flows among God's children, that speaking blood, that wonderful gospel that we can hear and be assured, that we can believe and know that Jesus came for one reason. He came to this world, and it's really all of Christianity. It's all of what Christianity is about. That he came here to suffer and to die, to shed his blood so that we could be forgiven, so that all of our sins could be forgiven and that we could have eternal life. Think about eternal life. It is difficult, isn't it, when we're doing our daily duties and the work that's got to be done and taking care of families and all the things. But let's not forget to be looking ever upward in expectation, in the expectation that Jesus can come at any moment, and that we want to be ready, and we want to be ready to go home and to be with him, to live forever and ever in eternity in heaven, in that place that he's gone to prepare for us, that the Bible really doesn't say that much about, but we know it's a wonderful place. And we know, as it says in Revelation, that all the tears are going to be wiped away from our eyes, and there's going to be joy and peace forevermore. I'd like to, first of all, before we go to our text this evening, look again at the 15th verse of the 13th chapter of Hebrews. And before that verse, 15, I'll read a few verses before that, starting at the 11th. That's in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, starting with the 11th verse. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So Jesus had to suffer also without the camp, without the gate. He was numbered among the transgressors. Then it says, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And so that's to us. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And so that is that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation, and that we would tell everyone that we see about Jesus and what he's done for us and the love that he has for all in forgiving all of their sin, that they could also receive eternal life. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And then this 15th verse, by him Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. By him, Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. May that ever come forth from our lips, because we want to thank him for the wonderful work he's done to give us salvation in washing us, cleansing us, cleansing our conscience and washing our bodies with pure water, and that we could continually, and it says here it's a sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice of praise, as it says, to God. And that is the fruit of our lips, meaning that that fruit that is in the heart where man believes, it's with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so with this fruit of our lips, it tells where our heart is. It also says that from the abundance of our hearts, our mouth will speak. We'll speak about those things that are most important to us. And wouldn't it be most important, it is most important, that this salvation that we've received and this road that we're walking on, this narrow way that leads to eternal life, is very real. And that we could realize that we're following in the footsteps of Jesus, in the bloody footprints of Jesus, because that's where our salvation is. It's in his blood. And it's only in the blood that we can have these sins removed from us and washed. So we thank God that he has given us his son so that we can receive this gift of eternal life, and giving thanks to his name, the powerful name of Jesus, the name above every name. And this evening for our text, we're going to look at the 103rd Psalm. That's the 103rd Psalm. And we'll read this in Jesus' name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. For as for a man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. All, this word all is repeated here several times in this psalm. But all that is within me. The Lord wants all of our heart. He wants all of us, not just part of us, but he wants us to be completely taken and walking with him. It says that we love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, and with all our mind. All our heart and soul and strength, every bit of what we have, all our mind. And we can't love him without him giving us the ability to even love him. As it says in the catechism, that we can't, by our own reason or strength, come to Jesus Christ or believe. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel and has enlightened me with his gifts and given us even the power to believe and to have faith. To have faith is something, isn't it? To have faith. Even the faith comes, our faith comes from the Lord. He gives it, as it says, his mercies are new every morning. He gives us faith, new faith each day to believe and to trust and to walk with him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That all comes from every bit of us, from the bottom of our feet through the top of our head. All that is within me, we bless his holy name. What a name it is, the name of Jesus, the one that has created the heavens and the earth, the one that has created each one of us here and all mankind. What a powerful God we have, Jesus Christ. And it's by him that even all things consist at this moment. He holds all of it together. It's an amazing thing that is beyond our comprehension, who God is and his power and his might and his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So we need to be reminded, don't we, that we so easily forget. We get caught up in the struggles of life, in the difficulties, and we think we're doing it on our own, don't we? I often forget to even stop and pray when things get difficult and think that I can work things out on my own. But no, the Lord, through the Spirit, makes us realize how weak we are. We aren't capable of anything. Without him, we can do nothing. So it's only through him and by him that we're able to even do the things we need to do each day to take care of our families, which is important, and the work that we do to support them. But yet, we need to look at all of these as blessings from the Lord, their benefits. The blessings of even the fact that we can live and move and have our being, that we're able to walk and we're able to see and hear and taste and smell and all these things that I just take for granted. What a gift they are, just the natural blessings that God has given us. Many we know aren't able to get up out of their beds and to walk to the faucet and get a drink of water. Someone else has to do it for them. Many are in wheelchairs, paralyzed, where they require someone else to take care of them, to dress them and to feed them and do everything for them. And yet, I sometimes murmur at the small difficulties of life that I run into. And God has to remind me that what he's done for me and for all of us. And yes, the benefits of a family, the benefits of a home, and as the catechism says, land and cattle, money, goods, house, home, cattle, and on, it speaks about all the things that God provides for us even naturally. Daily bread, our daily bread that is so comes from God, that he provides our food, and we seem to forget sometimes, don't we, to even thank God before we sit down and eat a meal, that it comes from him, that these things are provided by him, the very food that we eat. As we see in Genesis, he says, I've given you the herb of the field and the cattle and all for your food. He's provided all that. What wonderful blessings that we have. But most of all, as these next few verses refer to, again, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then in the third verse it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. James says that we pray to one another, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. That healing that we even receive when we can confess our sins and we can be healed. Healed of our diseases. And yes, the disease of sin. It's a disease of sin, isn't it? And that mankind has been troubled with from the very beginning. Who healeth all thy diseases and forgiveth all thine iniquities. What a blessing. What a blessing it is. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He redeemed us from the lowest hell. Yes, we deserved eternal punishment. But God sent his Son here to rescue us and to redeem us from eternal destruction. And that today, at this moment, we have the peace and the joy as the children of God, as his children, that we can believe and know that our sins are forgiven, and that whenever Jesus comes, that we won't be ashamed, but that we'll be ready and that we're longing for him to come. But there's many that are traveling on that broad road that leads to destruction. There's many that don't know the love of Jesus. Or if they've known it, they've maybe left. And we pray that that seed that's been planted in their hearts would sprout, and that it would bring them to the knowledge, and God would draw them by his love back into his fold. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. What loving kindness and tender mercies he crowns us with. And we know one day we'll hear the words of the Savior, that come ye blessed of my Father, and receive that crown of everlasting life. What a joy it's going to be to hear those words, that we can leave this life and we can go into eternal life and live with our Savior and Redeemer forever and ever. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. He satisfies our mouth with the good things. As he told the woman at the well, that I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. The satisfying water that Jesus gives, it's eternal water. It's eternal life. It's a living faith that he gives us. And many today are seeking. They're seeking for things that don't satisfy. They're seeking for the pleasures of this life and the vain passing things that the devil paints to be such pleasure and joy. And he even tempts us children of God with that. But they're such passing things that we would not want to go there. He says to taste and to see that the Lord is good. And he fills the hungry with good things. He fills the hungry with good things. And the rich he sends up empty away. Yes. It says, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yes, the Lord will fill us. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So that we'll run and not be weary, and we'll walk and not faint. We'll be renewed with the water of life, the bread of life, this word that we can hear and we can believe it and that we can read it. And I'd encourage all of you to read God's word, be immersed in it, and it will help you as you walk each day. As that song says, that when Jesus is near, temptations lose their power. And we've experienced that, haven't we? When we're walking hand in hand with the Lord, that temptations lose their power. In the sixth verse, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And yes, Jesus came here to open the blind eyes and to heal those that were sick. The lepers were cleansed, and the lame walk. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Righteousness, yeah, it's Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. It's Him alone that we've been sanctified and made holy by the blood sacrifice. He made known His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. That was the law. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In the eighth verse, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. It says in 1 Peter that the Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. He's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's plenteous in mercy. As it says in Isaiah, He's paid double for all of our sins. He's paid double. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. And the Lord will not always strive with man. We've heard that the mercies of God are like a passing shower. Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Today, put away those sins that are bothering your conscience, children of God. Jesus could come tonight. We want to be ready. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. No, we deserve punishment, eternal punishment, but He has sent His Son, and He has redeemed us and bought us and purchased us. If For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy to them that fear him. For as high as the heaven is above the earth. If we could only understand how the infinite space, the distances out there are tremendous. We know the universe is not measured with miles, but it's measured with light years. And in 1 year, light can travel trillions of miles. And the furthest planets out there, or the furthest stars that men have discovered, or they say they're several million light years out. But we know that the universe is infinite, as God himself is infinite, as eternal life, as eternity is infinite. And so it brings us closer to understand this, for as the heaven is high, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. What mercy that is. And then it speaks about fear. It speaks about fear here, that we don't fear as his children. We don't fear him in that way. But we acknowledge that he is a God that is beyond who we can even know or understand. We know that he has all power. And so he, as it says here, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And so his mercy is great. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So far as the east is from the west, yeah, it's gone. Those sins are never remembered again. They're forgiven. They're into the sea of grace. They're buried into the sea of grace, never to be remembered anymore. And so as the devil tries to bother us and bring up those sins again of our past, we can tell him that they're forgiven. They're washed away in that blood, in the name and blood of Jesus. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Like as a father pitieth his children, and so the Lord does pitieth us. He looks at us and he would want to hold us in his arms as a little child, and he wants us to be his children. And as Jesus said that, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. For he knoweth our frame and remembereth that we are dust. For he knoweth our frame. He certainly does, doesn't he? The one that made us, and the very one that created us from the dust of the earth and breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. He knows our frame. As it says in the 139th Psalm, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God knows everything about us. There's nothing hidden. He knows the very thoughts and the intent of our heart. He knows what's on our tongue before we even speak. He knows our frame. And that we are dust. And it says, as for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. His days are as grass. We know a flower just blooms for a little while and then it's gone. And so our life is. We're only here for such a short moment. If we could only grasp and understand that, the vanities of this life are so passing, so empty, as Solomon says, that all is vexation and vain. As for man, his days are as grass, and as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Our life is like a little vapor that appears and then it's gone. It says, for the wind passeth over it and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. The place thereof shall know it no more. Yes, we know that we're forgotten in a short time. A couple of generations pass and the ones that are in the graves are forgotten for the most part. But the Lord will not forget us. We know that one day all those in the graves will hear his voice. All those in the graves will hear his voice and will rise from the grave. They're sleeping. Those that are sleeping in the graves, they'll rise first, it says. And then us that are here and alive will also rise to meet the Lord in the air. And instantaneously, we're going to be changed in a moment of time. We're going to have new bodies, like unto his glorious body. New bodies. And we will be with the Lord forever. And yes, I believe, as the scripture alludes to, that yes, we believe that our bodies will be resurrected, as Job has even said, that in my flesh I will see God. And we know these mysteries, as they are mysteries, we only see through a glass darkly. And there's so many things that we don't understand, but we leave them in God's hands. But it's very clear in his word that we will rise again from the grave, and we'll meet the Lord in the air, and we'll have new bodies like unto his glorious body. And I believe that we'll one day recognize those that have gone before us. We'll sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as it says, and we'll meet all the patriarchs that have gone on before us. What a day that's going to be. Around the throne, waving their palms, and those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. And then the 18th verse, it says, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. In Ecclesiastes, in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, in the 13th verse, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. I want to close by reading the 22nd chapter of, in the 22nd chapter of Revelation. From the 12th verse. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.